Thank you, Missy.
Have your Bibles not. Turn with you to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Lord, we thank you, my Father, for this day. I thank you, Father, for your precious word and for the privilege to gather in your house tonight, Lord. And Father, we ask that you just help us tonight, Lord. God, I pray the Holy Spirit would just have liberty, Lord, to take the truths of your word, Lord, and touch our hearts, Lord. Do the work that needs to be done tonight, Father. Mold and shape us, dear Lord, to be more like you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in this verse we see where Jesus is comparing himself to a physician, to a doctor. It says, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And you know, nobody would argue with the fact that Jesus is a great physician. If you have a physical need, he can meet it. If you have a spiritual need, he can take care of it. But I started thinking this afternoon, have you ever just compared our attitude toward earthly doctors and our attitude toward our heavenly doctor, our great physician, so to speak? Now just think about some of these things. The first sign of a problem in our lives, that we think we're getting sick, that something's wrong, you know what we do? As fast as we can, we call the doctor. But why is it spiritually, when we know we're struggling, we know that something's wrong, we know that something's not right, we make no attempt to get to God? Have you ever thought about the fact that to get to talk to the doctor, we'll call, we'll make an appointment, we'll show up, we'll sit out in a little room for an hour, only for somebody to get us and take us to a smaller room, sit for another 45 minutes to an hour. We'll go to all that energy. We've got all the patience in the world it takes to talk to that doctor. I dare say nobody, when they went to the doctor, that after sitting out for an hour, has gone, so you know what, I'll just try again later. I just ain't got time to sit here. You know why? Because we need something. We're fearful. We know there's something wrong and there's a need and we want to talk to the doctor. But spiritually, we know there's a need. But the first little obstacle we encounter trying to get to God, and you know what we do? We just give up. We don't have the patience to seek Him out. We'll change our schedules. You got a doctor's appointment, you'll change your schedule. You'll miss out on it. Whatever's in the way, whatever you got to move around, you'll do it so you can talk to that doctor. But we'll never put life on hold to talk to God. Hey, we'll tell people, hey, I can't go. I'm sorry, I got to cancel, but I got a doctor's appointment. I dare say none of us have ever called somebody and said, listen, I hate to do this, but I got to cancel. I mean, I got to talk to the Lord this afternoon. What's it say about us? We tell the doctor our symptoms, and we'll go to the doctor. We'll give him every little detail. Doc, I started hurting here, and the pain started going here. Every little detail of what's wrong. But then we talk to God, and we just want to speak in general terms. Lord, help me. I need help. You know why we don't give him the details? Because really, we don't care. We're not interested in taking the time and talking to him. Doctor tells us we can't eat for 24 hours. Doctor says, Chad, for 24 hours, you can't eat 12 hours before it's time. I don't want any liquids. I don't want you to drink anything. I need you to do this so we can run a test to see what's wrong. Got no problem doing it. But then God lays on our hearts that He wants us to fast for a day over some spiritual need. And it's, I can't do that. I get sick if I don't eat. Hey, I got to work. If I don't do that, I get sick. Doctor tells us, hey, here's this medication I need you to take every day. And we won't miss a pill. But then the great physician can say, hey, here's what I need you to do for your spiritual health. I need you to read and pray every day. And we just forget. We don't do it. We don't like what the doctor tells us. You know what? We'll go get a second opinion. You know, if I go to the doctor and he says, Chad, that place on your skin, it looks like it might be cancer. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start calling around and find the best dermatologist I can find to get a second, to make sure, I mean, to see what the problem is. But spiritually, we do just the opposite. We start out with the expert in the field, the one that knows everything. And he tells us what's wrong. And we want to run to somebody else and get their advice and opinion. Hey, if I thought I had skin cancer, you'd think I'd be a fool to call an eye doctor to look at it, wouldn't you? That's essentially what we're doing. When God tells us, hey, here, you're struggling with spirit, here's what's wrong, here's what you need to do. And we say, I'm going to talk to somebody else, Lord. They don't know anything. He's the great physician. He's the expert in the field. Doctor tells us we need to lose weight. We'll change everything in our lifestyle to do what he's asked us to do for our health's sake. But then God tells us to do something, we won't change our lifestyle for nothing. We'll fight it with everything we have. And I just, in my mind, I just started thinking on these things. You know, there's been a lot of people who on their deathbed, you know what they've said? I should have listened to the doctor. Wonder how many people have been dying of cancer and thought, you know what, I should have listened to the doctor when he told me to quit smoking. Wonder how many diabetics, when they're getting their limbs cut off, have thought to themselves, I should have listened to the doctor years ago. Wonder how many people getting ready to go undergo heart surgery, the thought has crossed through their mind, I should have listened to my doctor and lost that weight years ago like he told me to. Sadly, there's a lot of God's people, and they've sat on the pews year after year, withering away and dying. And you know what they're saying? I should have listened to the great physician. I should have listened to God on what he was telling me to do. And so here's where I want to go tonight. Do you want to be a healthy Christian? Do you want to be a healthy Christian? What I want to do now, I just want to look at a few things the great physicians told us to do to maintain our spiritual health. If I could say it this way, I want to give you the doctor's orders. We go to the doctor, he tells us, hey, his prescription, hey, here's what you need to do. Here's the doctor's orders if you want to get better. If you want to maintain your health, here's what you need to do. I'm going to tell you what the great physician says, what the doctor's orders are tonight. And you don't have to turn to these, I'll tell you, but Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know what will destroy you? A lack of knowledge. If I could say it this way, here's what the doctor's telling you. If you want to maintain your spiritual health, get some enlightenment. Get some knowledge. And I can't preach on all these, obviously, but some things just came to me, some things that we need to get some knowledge about. Did you know, God's people, we need to get some knowledge about how Satan attacks us. Listen, the devil wants to destroy us, and there's a lot of God's people, they're blind to what he's wanting to do. They have no idea how the devil attacks. See, once you know how Satan attacks, you know what to watch out for. You know how to be on guard. But sadly, a lot of God's people, they have no knowledge of how the devil attacks. I talked to a guy at work one day. We was talking about the different Bible versions. And here's what I said to him. I said, you know what the devil has attacked since the very beginning? And he goes, I don't know what's that. And I said, what did he attack in Genesis? And he goes, he said, hath God said? I said, he attacked the Word of God. I said, what do you think all these Bible versions is now? Is it not an attempt of him attacking the Word of God? And he goes, you know what? That makes perfect sense. Here he was battling over the Bible issue. He had no idea that that was the way the devil attacks. Do you know why there's a lot of people carrying around the wrong Bible versions? Because they're blind to how the enemy attacks. They're blind to what the devil's trying to do. You know why? They have no knowledge. They have no knowledge of what he's doing. We need to have some knowledge on how Satan attacks. We need to have some knowledge on the dangers of sin. You know what? We're not afraid of sin. God's people, we're not afraid of sin. Here's what we think. We can control it. Every home that's ever been destroyed, it started out as something small with somebody naive enough to think, I can control it. It won't get my house. And you know what? It did. You can't control sin. Sin grows and it spreads and it destroys. And the only thing you can do with it is get rid of it. You play around with it, you toy around with it long enough, and you will pay the ultimate price for it. It's destructive. But you know what? God's people, we have no knowledge. You look all through the Bible. Better men than you and I will ever attain to be were destroyed by sin. We're foolish enough to think we can control it. The fact that we think we can control it really, it shows a lack of knowledge on our part. And sadly, the reason there's a lack of knowledge about the dangers of sin is because most men of God won't preach on it. The problem between man and God is sin. You want to have the right relationship with God? Sin has to be dealt with. Yeah, but you know what? Nobody wants to preach on sin. You know what? I would rather somebody just give it to me straight. Let me deal with it. But we're not living in that day. Yeah. We're living in a day when everybody just tell me what I want to hear. Make me feel good about myself. And you know what? They go off. They're being deceived. They're being destroyed. You know why? They have a lack of knowledge on the dangers of sin. There's a lack of knowledge on what God expects from His children. Why is it that God's people don't know how to act? You know what's one of the most embarrassing things to me as a parent? When I send my children off with somebody and they don't act right, it's embarrassing to me to think that my own children don't know how to act when they get around people. How do you think God feels? Watching His own children strip off half naked and run around with the world's crowd. Hey, would it not embarrass you, your children be at the neighbor's house running around naked playing? How do you think God feels? There's a lot of God's people. They don't know how God expects them to act. What God expects from His children. And it's just a lack of knowledge. Kelly was telling about a girl the other day. She met, talked to her. 20 years old, goes to church, excited about the things of God, and she was showing her the little cross she had tattooed on her wrist. Won't let everybody know she was a Christian. How sad. You know what that is? It's a lack of knowledge. Let me tell you this. We live our faith. We don't have to wear it. I don't need a shirt that says Jesus is Lord of my life. You follow me around long enough and you know what? You'll know He's Lord of my life. I don't need to mark up my body, let people know I'm a Christian. Follow me around and you know, you live your faith. You don't have to wear it if you'll live it. Amen. You know what it all is? It's just a lack of knowledge. Knowledge of what God expects from His children, you know what it'll do? It'll give you some convictions. It'll give you some personal convictions. And the fact that we have no personal convictions, it shows a lack of spiritual discernment, a lack of knowledge on our part. See, your convictions, it's going to be based on your knowledge of the Word of God. If you don't have personal convictions, let me just say, you're an unhealthy believer. That's just the fact of it. There's no knowledge of what God expects from His children. There's no knowledge of the role of the church in the world. Most people sitting in church tonight, they have no idea what church is about. To most people, church is about ball games, having ball teams, having car shows on the weekend. Oh, it's just a big social thing. Some good people, but they have no knowledge of what the church is supposed to be doing. They have no knowledge. You mentioned the Great Commission to most people, they don't even know what you're talking about. They're being destroyed. They're unhealthy believers. All because of a lack of knowledge. Here's what the doctor's orders are. If you want to be healthy, get some enlightenment. Get some knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But secondly, Proverbs 29 says this. 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now that word vision, it can be defined as an object of sight. Paul had a spiritual vision. He said, I pressed toward the mark. He had something, a vision, something he was working towards. Here's what the doctor's saying. If you don't want to die spiritually, if you do not want to wither up on the pew, you know what you need? You need some expectations. You need a vision. You know what's sad, most people? We don't expect God to do nothing. You know, we all have some expectations. Tomorrow, many of us, we've already decided, we've got the expectation of the goal, we're going to mow the yard when we get in from work. Many of you ladies that are going to do laundry from the weekend, if things piling up, clean the house. There's all things that we expect to do, some goals that we've set. And if we're going to be healthy Christians, you know what we got to have? We got to have some spiritual expectations. We got to have some spiritual goals. Let me ask you this, what kind of spiritual goals have you set for tomorrow? What are you going to do spiritually tomorrow? Sadly, you know what most people would tell you? I don't know. I'm not giving it any thought. Let me ask you this, or how many chapters are you going to read tomorrow? How much time are you going to spend to the Lord in prayer? How many people do you think you'll share the gospel with tomorrow? Sadly, most of them not giving it any thought whatsoever. What spiritual goals have you set for your life? Do you even expect God to do anything with your life? What would you think if you hired me to build your house, pulled up on the job site, lowered the tailgate, and sit on the truck and said, well, let's just sit here and see what happens? You'd run me off, wouldn't you? You ought to. But you know what's sad spiritually? That's what we do. We come in the house of God, we sit on a pew and say, all right, let's see what the Lord wants to do with me. You know what? If I want the Lord to bless the work of my hands, if I build or do something, you know what I have to do? I got to do something. I got to put some sort of effort, do something to see if God will bless it. Did you know if you want God to use your life, you know what? You've got to do something. You've got to put some energy, some effort behind something to see what God will do, if God will bless the work of your hands, if God will get behind it. The reason we don't expect God to do anything for our lives. We just show up. And we're sitting around and we're watching and wondering, I wonder if God's going to do anything. When are you going to step out by faith and do something? And I understand we've got to have direction from the Lord, but you understand where I'm coming from. We're not expecting God to do anything. What kind of spiritual goals have you set for your children? What expectations do you have for your children when it comes to serving God? Have you even given any thought? You know what we better be doing? We better be teaching from the young age that you don't fit in with the world. You know what? I went as far as to tell my children, when you start feeling like you fit in, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong. But you know what? We don't teach them that. We're not pushing our children to come out and be separate. Instead, we wait until, just what the pastor said this morning, we wait until they get older, when there's a lot of peer pressure on them, and we accept them to just step out and be some spiritual superhero. It doesn't work that way. You know why it was so hard for me to knock on doors and go on visitation? Because I never done it. 32 years old before I ever knocked on the first door inviting somebody to church and trying to share the gospel. It was hard. I mean, it was hard on my flesh. But you know what? My children are doing a whole lot better with it than I was. You know why? Because they've grown up in a church that's what they've seen done. I grew up in a church we didn't do that. And you know what? When I did start doing it, it made it super hard on me. But you know what? You start training them from a young age to share the gospel, to hand out tracts, to do all those things, it's a whole lot easier on them. You start teaching them to dress right now, it's not going to be a problem when they're 16 and realize they don't fit in. We need some expectations. Let me ask you this. What were your spiritual expectations to come to church tonight? Did you come in the house of God tonight thinking, God's going to speak to me? Did you come in the house of God tonight expecting to see a move of God upon this service? You know what we do a lot of times? We just come. We're not expecting to get nothing from God. We're not expecting to see nothing. All we're expecting to do is fulfill our obligation, hit the door. That's all we want. And sadly, because we come in with that attitude, that's all we get. We get nothing. Were you anticipating the Lord giving you something to help you tonight? You know why a lot of people are weak and they're dying on the pews? They're not expecting to see God do anything. You know what? It's healthy for God's people to expect to see God move. You know what? It's healthy to expect to see God move in my life, to see God move in my home, to see God move in the lives of my children, to see God move in my church. But you know what? We don't set those expectations. You know what would be healthy? To get up and go out to work tomorrow with the expectation, hey, God's going to give me an opportunity today. If I all look for it, God will give me an opportunity to do something to bring glory and honor to Him. And you know what? If we'll look for it, He'll give it to us. But you know why we don't see those opportunities? Because we're not expecting to find them. We're just going through our life. We don't expect to see God do anything. And the reason we don't expect it, you know what really shows? A lack of faith on our part. That's really what it comes down to. Here's what the doctor's orders are. If you want to be a healthy Christian, you need a vision. You need some godly expectations that you're expecting to see God do something. But then lastly, let me give you this one. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 12 says, "For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish." And I know this verse is prophetic, but the principle's found throughout the Bible. I can go to Ephesians 2 and 10. "For we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Here's what I'm trying to say. Here's what the great physician's saying. If you want to be healthy, you've got to exercise. There's got to be some spiritual exercise taking place in your life. We live in a day when most of God's people, we're not interested in serving God. We serve ourselves. You know why we don't pray? Because we're too busy serving ourselves. We don't have time. You know why we don't read our Bibles? We're too busy serving self. I mean, that's the fact. Each and every one of us, we got at least probably 5 hours from the time we get off work till we go to bed. But there's no time to serve God because we've already filled that up with self. We let our flesh do what it wants to do. And when our flesh is satisfied, when we've done all we want to do, watched all the TV we want to do, talked on the phone all we wanted, played all of our games, then if there's time left, we'll pray and we'll give it to God. We're serving self. That's not spiritual exercise. When we see our children pile up on the couch, I've come in from work and they've all been piled up in there, and you know what? Here's what I say. Get outside and do something. Don't lay around here. Get outside. Go play. Go do something. Don't just lay around here. Wonder how many times God's thought about His children that way. How many times you think God's going to say, get off the pews. Get off the pews and do something. Yeah. But we got every excuse in the world. I can tell my kids to go outside and play, and here's what I say, Daddy, it's too hot. That is just too hard. We've been out there. It's hot. We don't want to go outside. Everything you can think of, they'll have every excuse in the world. And we're no different spiritually. God wants us to get off the pews, to exercise, to do something. And we got every excuse on why we just can't get it done. Let me give you some exercises we should do on a daily basis. Number one, you know what you should do on a daily basis? Repent. Amen. Every day. You know what you should do? You should repent. We all sin. There's not one of us above it. We've all got the same flesh. We sin. That sin breaks fellowship with God. And what we need to do every day, on a daily basis, confess our sins, repent, ask God to forgive us. Yeah. To get that relationship. Every day we need to repent. Every day we need to read our Bible. Listen, I've already told you, people are dying. There's no knowledge. The only way you're going to get knowledge of God, it's reading His Word. And what's sad, most of God's people have never read His Word. There's people that I've talked to that have been in church their whole life, never read through the Word of God one time. How do they know about my God if they've never read about Him? We need to read. We need to pray. You can't have a relationship with God if you don't pray. If you don't talk to Him, you don't have a relationship. You need to witness every day. It goes against our flesh. It makes us uncomfortable. But how can you do your part in fulfilling the Great Commission if we don't witness? Every day. You know what? If we do those exercises. You know what exercise does? It builds strength. You know what spiritual exercise does? It builds spiritual strength. You purpose every day, I'm going to read, I'm going to pray, I'm going to try to witness, do something to fulfill my part of the Great Commission, and I'm going to repent and try to keep sin out of my life where I can talk to God. You know what it do? It make us stronger. Day by day, we'll get a little stronger and a little stronger. But you know why a lot of God's people are sitting on the pews and dying? They don't exercise. They spent their whole life just sitting there, waiting to see what happens. The doctor's orders are, if you want to be healthy, you've got to exercise. I'd hate to fulfill an early grave because I didn't listen to the doctor. I mean, here I am, 42 years old. I'd hate to die because of something that the doctor told me I should have done and I just neglected to do it. And fill an early grave at 48, 49 years old. Here's what I'm asking you now. Do you want to be one of those believers that spends your day sitting on a pew just withering away to nothing spiritually? All because you wouldn't listen to the Great Physician. All because you wouldn't listen to the doctor. You want to be healthy. You want to be a healthy Christian. Here's the doctor's orders. Get some enlightenment. Get some knowledge of the things of God. Know how the devil's going to attack you. Know what God expects from your life. Get some expectations. Listen, we need to see God. We need to expect to see God move and do something. We got this revival coming up. You know what? Every one of us, we ought to go in and say, expecting to see God do a great work. Not just something taken for time. To show up truly expecting for God to speak to you and do a work in your life. And we've got to get some exercise. We can't sit on the pews if you don't want to wither away. We've got to get up and be busy doing something. Exercise the spiritual gifts that God's given us and build some spiritual strength. If we'll do those things, you know what will happen? We'll be healthy Christians. And healthy Christians, you know what they can do? They can labor effectively. You know what? I'd hate to start a building project and have a crew of men that was sickly and unable to do nothing. You know what's going to get the job done? Having some men that are healthy, that are capable of doing the work. That's how this church is going to grow. That's how God is going to build His church. It's going to be through some healthy Christians that will allow God to work through Him. Pastor, you come on.
Brother Allen, if you'd come to the come with the music, I'll ask you to bow your heads tonight. If God's spoken to your heart, would you be obedient to the Spirit of God? That's just how simple it is. Just obey the Spirit of God if He's spoken to you tonight. Brother Allen's going to play. Just you and God for just a few minutes. Or going to sing, I should have said. Just you and God for a few minutes. Brother Allen, you sing when you get ready.